Somewhere on the other side, somewhere across the border. Alone.
never miss your favourite shows again. Click on to planetaudio.org.nz.
We all inherently and intuitively know that we humans require coherent leadership, courageous action, and visionary thinking if we are to leave a world for our children and grandchildren that is far better off than it is now. Join me, Tim Lynch, on Green Planet FM 104.6, Thursday mornings, 8 a.m, and together we can inspire and achieve what we know in our hearts is imperative. Listen anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/Green Planet.
You can hear our program of the Ageless Wisdom Teachings brought to you by the Auckland Transmission Group on Friday mornings at 9:15. We introduce the world teacher Maitreya and topics chosen from Sheer International magazine. Keep yourself up to date with the emergence and how it's working out in the modern world. Friday morning at 9:15 on Planet FM 104.6.
You're listening to 104.6 Planet FM, the Access Community radio station where there's something for everyone. Music, news and views in more than 30 different languages. Check out our website, planetaudio.org.nz, to listen to your favourite programmes on demand and to learn more about Planet FM in the About section. Now it's something for our Ghanaian community. It's time for Radio Akwaaba, which is on air at 6:15.
Each week, around 3,000 units of blood are required to cover the needs of hospitals throughout New Zealand. Every drop counts. If you're over 16 and weigh more than 50 kilos, you can probably give blood. Go to nzblood.co.nz or call 0800 Give Blood to book an appointment. You could save a life on your lunch break.
Planet FM brings you radio with a distinctive South African flavour. From Auckland to Wellington, Cape Town to Durban, to Johannesburg and around the world. With music, news, shout-outs and community notices. South Africa NZ Live. Listen on 104.6 Planet FM every Saturday night at 7:35 or anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/South Africa NZ Live.
We sit on the radio.
Join us for an hour of perspectives and stories from resettled communities.
We bring current affairs, conversation, interview, music and more.
Resettled Radio live on Planet FM 104.6 every Saturday 10 to 5.
Proudly brought to you by the Auckland Refugee Community Coalition.
Listen anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/resettledradio.
radio akwa bia si eye.
Where the hell do you think of Scott Walker? My memory is getting so dim. Don't have no frame of reference no more. Not even screaming, Lord, such. Fight 'em now, there's no waving loony party. Nowadays, I guess there's not much to relate to anymore. Unless you wanna be mediocre, there's nothing new under the sun and the moon and the stars, none chum. I'm making my way down the highway, still got a monkey on my back, facing it head on and doing it my way. Please, can you cut me some slack? Unless you wanna be mediocre, and nothing new under the sun and the moon and the stars now show. Still making my way, still got a monkey on my back, facing head on and doing it my way. Please, can you cut me some slack? So many rounds down the road a piece jack. Saw a bus coming and I had to get on it. I'm still trying to find my way back. Whatever happened to all those dreams a while ago? Whatever happened way across the sea? Whatever happened to the way it's supposed to happen? And whatever happened to me?
Radio Pub 104.6 FM. It's another wonderful Tuesday again. Radio Club 104.6 FM, like the Facebook post, suggesting we're discussing a little bit about what happened last week and with the position of the African community and where to from now and the feeling in the among the African community. And I've got some wonderful guests here in the studio with me. Kwasi Fede is here and he's hiding in the corner. Ima is here and then we've got Chinwe. Chinwe is here. She's from the Akofi, the president of Akofi, and she's here to give us an insight into the feeling of the African community, what is happening, how people are really feeling, the challenges, and what is going on at the back in the mind of people, and what kind of support are being available to the community. So I think we're going to have such a wonderful discussion here. So those of you on Facebook, I know Lorraine has joined us on Facebook. If you join us on Facebook, please feel free to share the video among yourselves, among your friends, and invite your friends to watch the video as well. And once you join us on Facebook, so please tell us where you are calling from, and then we'll be able to acknowledge you and your wonderful family. So for now, just let's listen to some music, and then we come back to you again to the studios.
If you do bad, you do for yourself.
Yeah, so just coming back again to the studio. The song that you were listening to is was from I think it's Ampofoje, and what the song actually is a Ghanaian song. What he's trying to, the message he was trying to send was more about there was this guy who was a beggar on the street. He always goes around begging, and he goes around and asks for money, but not knowing there is a person in the community. I think this begging was becoming a nuisance to a particular person in the community. So this person in the community tried to, you know, get rid of him because his behavior, and he hate him, you know, it just related to hate. And what happened was that one day he decided to eliminate this guy from the community. So what actually happened was that he bought the bread, and what this guy normally does is when you give him a present, he will say, if you do good, you do for yourself. Every time you are good to him, he says, if you do good, you do for yourself. But on that day, so when this guy decided to poison him, the guy in the community put poison in the bread, and then gave to this guy to eat with the hope that he's going to poison him and kill him. So when the bread was given to this beggar on the street, his response was, if you do bad, you do for yourself. But unfortunately, on that day, this guy was not very hungry. So he decided to keep the bread, and when he get home, he will eat. But on the way going, you know how the African community is like. He met these children playing on the street, running around. And some of the kids said they were hungry. So this beggar decided to give this bread to the children to eat. But when he was giving the bread to the kids to eat, he says, this good, what I'm doing good to myself. So when he gave the bread to the kids and the kids ate it, they went home and they started having the effect of what is meant to effect of the poisoning. Not knowing these children were the children of the one who gave the bread to the beggar. So, you know, so the concept, if you do good, whatever you are doing for yourself. Whatever is happening, what if you make a decision, you know, as a society, as a people, whatever decision that we take, whatever action that we take, if it's good thing, it's good for us. If it's bad thing, it's going to come back again and haunt us. And here we are. Last week, Friday, there was an incident in New Zealand. And on this incident, there was a terror attack. Some call it different names, but to us, it's a terror attack on a minority group in New Zealand attack in Christchurch Mosque. And very unfortunate, very annoying. And when the incident happened, I was filled with anger. People were filled with anger, frustration, and a lot of things were happening in the community. I don't know how you were feeling out there. And those of you on radio 104.6 or www.planetaudio.org.nz, or those of us who are watching us live on Facebook, we don't know how you were feeling. You can let us know how you were feeling on that day. But the frustration, the anger. And then there was a lot of rhetorics, a lot of messages from people, you know, condolences and all those things. We're going to go into the feeling of people, especially, and we know that four Somalians died and two Ethiopians also died. So it affected African community as well. The response from our people and the response from the African community, and also going beyond the rhetorics and the wishes and the goodwill messages, what do we need to understand? What do we think from the African perspective? What do we think the government, what are the areas the government will be looking at in terms of dealing with this issue? So I've got my wonderful guest in the studio with me. So I'll go first to the president of Akofi, Chinwe. So Chinwe, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Thank you, Roger. I just want to clarify that, yes, we lost four Somalians, including a three-year-old boy, Makar. He is the youngest victim of this terror attack. We had thought that two Ethiopians had died, but we heard this morning that they did not die, they're injured, and they're in hospital. So we're really grateful that that's not the case. Mm. But still, they are injured, and so please send your love and support to all of those affected.
Yeah, so on that day, you probably would like to maybe increase your volume a little bit for us. On that day, how did you hear the message? And when you heard the message, how was your response like, you know?
I was at work and I got a text alert from the Herald, and I was turned on the news, and yeah, it was there. I can't really explain how I felt. I think it was a mixture of just utter sadness, yeah, and like pure anger. I'm sorry, I'm kind of lost for words, because it was all a bit, it was just, it all happened so quickly, even though it's over a few hours, it just all kind of merged into one continuous minute of just awfulness. And when I got home, I cried on the train, cried at home, woke up in the morning, cried again today. Mm. So still feeling it.
Very sad and very unfortunate. Ima, coming back, you also had an incident on the news, so somebody probably must have rung you and tell you. How did you feel? You know, how was your response like on that day?
Yeah, Ikoja, I think I'll start off by expressing my condolences to the family who lost these dear ones, and to the rest of us as African brothers and sisters, and to say that we wish them well, and that in our belief, we know that they are safe, and may their souls rest in peace in Allah. And just also to say that I didn't even know that there was a three-year-old boy who was an African who was part of this unfortunate happening. Yes, because so on Friday, I went home. I had gone to play futsal after school. I went home, we were sitting in my garage. We were just eating. So my next-door neighbor is selling his house. So he had come over, and he had come to clean the place. So his daughter has come to play with us. And then he came, we were eating, I invited him to come over. And then he brings us his phone and says, "Have you heard?" "Heard what?" "There's been a shooting in Christchurch." And so I went on the phone, went down, switched on the TV. And so we thought, yeah, shooting in New Zealand sounds like news, like something that's very far from us, and it shouldn't be happening here. And then overnight, the numbers of casualties keeps going up, and then you feel, yeah, this is not what it's supposed to be. So it was, for me, it was shock. Started receiving phone calls from back home, and I had to clarify, I'm miles away from Christchurch, I'm safe, but not everyone else is safe. Mm. And that's the part that you are connected to people, and have students who are Muslims, and they feel, and you talk to people, and yeah, so for me it was shock, not so much angry. I think there are things that we know, there are things we've talked about before, mm, and I think it's good we can talk about it today as well. Yeah. And it's a time for us Africans to be up there and be speaking for ourselves. Mm. So I think I'm still shocked anyway. Mm. I'm still shocked. And I think about the families in terms of people who have moved to places for safety. Mm. And if you look at the stories of people, where the people have come from, and to go to a place sacred as where you pray to your God, mm, and to be shot and killed.
I think people want a bit more volume.
Yeah, so yeah. So it's really, 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 really disheartening, mm, to think about it. It's just disheartening. Mm. And having said that, I think there's been an outpouring of support, which is great. Mm. And that is quite reassuring. To have the kind of support that the community is showing is reassuring. And it tells us how people can be loving in the midst of all the difficulties and challenges that we go through. Mm. But yeah, for me, shock, disheartened. And we hope that it never happens again. Mm. But we need to speak, and we will speak up.
Before I go ahead, I just want to acknowledge some of our viewers on our Facebook. So Lorena joined us on Facebook. Frank joined us on Facebook. Osei has joined us from Wellington. Aziz is from Australia. Aziz Ansala. That Bao has joined us. Katina has joined us on Facebook. Jeff Dixon has joined us on Facebook. Ashika has joined us on Facebook. And Batur has joined us on Facebook. So now let's come back to the issues regarding so Katina is saying is that Africa is the time for her to speak out, you know. From where you sit as a president of ACOFI, you know, and you have you spoken to the people, the Congo, especially the Somalian community, the Ethiopian, or those in Christchurch, how the feeling is like, you know, how they coping, how they getting their head around what had just happened?
Yep, I've been speaking to some of our Somalian leaders. I know a few that went to Christchurch this week. I was speaking to one this morning who's giving me an update. And also some of our Ethiopian brothers from Auckland have also gone down to support, and I've been in contact with them. Mm-hmm. Everyone, see, is very understandably emotionally drained and exhausted, and I think Emma's right, shock. There was a lot of shock. There's still a lot of waiting around in hospitals to find out when they can see their deceased and can begin the washing of the bodies and the burial process, which is long overdue now. There are still people who are like the two Ethiopians who are in hospital and injured, and members of the community have gone down to visit.
Okay,
them
Julia,
as well.
Increase a bit of volume. They can hear you. I think the radio is okay, but from coming from Facebook, they want you to increase your voice a little bit.
Okay. Mm. So just recap. So some members of the Somalian and Ethiopian community leaders have went down to Christchurch this week, some today. And the feeling down there is real sorrow and real sadness and emotional exhaustion. I think the hardest thing, one of the hardest things is Makad, the three-year-old boy who died. He is the youngest victim of this atrocity. And for the Somalian community, for all of us, it's inexplicably awful. And so understandably, everybody is feeling very, very sad. The grief is unparalleled, really. And our leaders, they're doing such a good job of holding it together and being strong for those in Christchurch. I really commend them. I really do. So, that's the feeling down there. There's still a lot of waiting. And the waiting is the frustrating bit. I understand that some members of the community and families have been waiting in the hospital for whole days, not going home to rest, because they're told at any minute now you can see the body. Mm. And, you know, 1 o'clock passes, 3 o'clock passes, 4 or 5 to midnight, nothing. And so they're not resting. So they're tired, they're traumatized, they're sad, they're grieving, they're mourning, and they still haven't received any real and concrete news about when they can begin the burial process. And that's the hardest thing.
Okay, yeah. So when it comes, so it might come up to you. So I believe you must have spoken to some of the Africans in the community. And how is your sense like? I'm not sure who you if you have any discussion with any people. How do you feel about how they're coping, how they're managing from your perspective?
Now, I think that I've only spoken to a Somalian lady and an Ethiopian lady as well. And from what I've picked up so far, I think people are kind of supporting each other. So what you see is people kind of rallying support. So you find people visiting friends and people who are suffered, whether directly or indirectly, and so trying to share that spirit among us. And I know of colleagues who have traveled down to Christchurch as well from school, who have gone down to see family, friends, and people they know as well, just to share the moment with them as well. So I think it's hard, and it's not just about people who have suffered it directly. There are most people out there who have, in some ways, going through some mental challenges as well. So it might be stress, it might be trauma, it might be whatever that outcome has been on people. And so it's just stretching a hand, talking to people, being nice to people, checking in on people that you know to see how they are doing. I think the Ministry of Health has released a very good guide on how people can cope as well. And so it might be useful to share that on this radio as well. So people may want to look at that as well. And it tells us to discuss it as much as we can, but not to go into details in terms of asking people how it was for them. To describe the shooting, the scenes, and all of that might not be helpful. And if you can, we try as much as possible to stay away from getting so much information as well into what really occurred. And so it would be better for us to divert our attention, keep busy with what we do every day, get on with our lives, really. That might help as well. And so for people listening to us, that may be a coping strategy. It's hard, we know, but we need to move on as well. And so at some point, we need to move on, and we will move on. And I think people are moving on anyway. But just that we need to be there for people. It's a time that people need us most. And so we need to stretch out, talk to people, and be nice as much as we can.
Yeah, okay, so and this Katin, I'm not sure you know her. She wanna contact you. She wanna have a discussion with you after the program regarding what happened and how we can support the community. So
yeah, and I asked her to email me, so Katina, please email me. That would be awesome.
Okay, So Katina, just email Chinwe, she will be able to keep in touch with you. So now Imako, let me start from there, come back again to Chinwe on well, how do you see this? Is it a terror attack? Is it is it hate? Is it it just goes beyond understanding what just happened? Because we know it happens around the world, but it has never come so close home. And what is your perspective of what just happened? And is it how do you look at it? I don't know how to describe it, but how?
Yeah, I think the Prime Minister put it right. She said it's a terrorist attack, and she described the guy as a terrorist, and that he has no place in New Zealand. I think that's what we can all say. So yes, of course, a terrorist attack. He's a white supremacist, someone who thinks the white race is better than any other person. And so, of course, it's a terrorist attack. It's unfortunate that it happened. It's unfortunate that people have lost their lives. But what really, the shock for me is when you think about it, that someone could hate someone to the point of killing him. And killing with no remorse. And if you looked at his picture when he went to the court, and the signs that he's doing, it's someone has done it and he has no remorse for doing it. And it's shocking, really. It's really shocking. If you think about it in that regard, how do you hate someone to the point of killing, and after killing, have no remorse for doing it? It's shocking for me, and I'm trying to put words together to describe it. But of course, a terrorist attack, we don't have to put any words to describe it. He's a terrorist, and it happened in New Zealand, and it targeted minority groups in the country. And so, yes, of course, for me, that's it.
Okay, yeah. So the terror, he targeted minority group. Chinwe, what is your from where you sit as a president of the of Akofi, and how do you, how do you get ahead around this? And in terms of, is it a terror attack? Is it a hate? Is it what at all would come into the mind of a person to do such a thing? You know, to a minority group in New Zealand.
So firstly, I echo Emma's points. It's a terrorist attack. There's no debate about that. I don't even think it's even up for discussion. It was a terrorist attack. That's it. Don't call it a shooting. Don't call it a gunman. He is a terrorist. It really annoys me that media refer to it as a Christchurch shooting, because I know, we all know, that if it was a Muslim person or someone of colour who had done that sort of thing to people whatever, in a public place or whatever the setting it was, immediately it would be called a terror attack. I don't know why it's taken some media outlets so long to call it what it is. So yes, a terrorist attack.
Okay, it's a terrorist attack. Yep, it's a terrorist attack. So now we've had a conversation, we've had a discussion, because now a friend told me after the condolences and all the rhetoric and all the love words and all those things, people will go home and the mother will not going to be there, the father is not going to be there. But beside that, something, what do you say to those who think that this is a problem in this New Zealand society, but this extreme case of what the minority group goes on, you know, experience in New Zealand, like people walk out on the street and others are angry with you, they say go back to your country and all those things, and all this racism and hate for immigrants in New Zealand, what do you say to that? Is that a widespread thing or extreme side of a widespread dislike for immigrants?
I think for some Kiwis it's hard to hear, but New Zealand is racist. It's a racist country, and it started before the Treaty of Waitangi. It started with colonialism, the way Maoris were treated, and it's continued on. There's always been this undercurrent of serious racial hatred to people of colour, to migrants, to anyone who does not fit into the standard Pākehā mould. And I think it's safe to say that in today's New Zealand, since Friday, it's really come to the fore. It really has shown that actually this is a serious issue. It's not just a one-off. It's not just extreme. This is years, decades, centuries of racism and xenophobia that has been there in New Zealand for a long time that we have covered up with our country's beautiful, and it is, and our country's safe, and it can be, and our country's diverse, but it's not inclusive, and we don't have the right race relations legislation, we don't have the right punitive measures or the education or the conversations at Parliament to even begin to realise just how bad it is for migrants and people of colour and ethnic communities. That has not happened, and it's a shame that it's taken 50 people dying at the hands of a terrorist for New Zealand to wake up and realise actually there are some really, really, really far right sections of society in New Zealand that have created a narrative of white is right and everything is rubbish.
Yeah, Ima, what is your take on that? So Frank, you say okay. So let's read some Facebook comment. And so Katina say yes, we live with racism in New Zealand, and I'm not shocked. Most Kiwis here are full of hatred, and I think so. There's some comment coming on Facebook. Frank, I probably think the other way around, and Katina say yes, I agree with what you just said. Ima, what is your take on this part?
Yeah, so I think that we've spoken about this before, and I want to go back to what the Prime Minister said today. I think she said that it's time for New Zealand to confront racism, xenophobia, and any white supremacist views around the country. And so she's been bold to say it. So I think it's an opportunity for us who live with racism daily to speak up. And so it's a time for us to do what the Human Rights Commission says we should do. That we should support people when they face racism. We should record it when someone is facing racism. So use your phone. And for those of us listening to me, use your phone to record it and report it. So those are the three actions she wants us to take. Support, record, report.
Can I just add to say something to that? Mm. I think she's right to say that, but here's the thing. Mm. When you're in the moment of being shouted at, sworn at, threatened, how do you even have the mind to get your phone out and start recording?
Mm.
You're thinking about, let me get out of here, let me look for my safety, let me find somewhere safe. The second thing is, you can report it, but we don't have specific race relations legislation. You report it and it's put down as like a public offence, disorder offence, something like that. It's not, this is a race hate crime. So we don't even have the tools to record it. It goes to court. It's not treated as a racial hate crime. It's treated as, you know, a violent crime. In the UK, they have race relations legislation and have had done since the 1970s. Mm. Here we don't have it. And I don't understand why we don't, when as far back as the Treaty of Waitangi, we have needed it. As far back as the Treaty of Waitangi, people who are not Pākehā have been mistreated and are being mistreated now. So she's right in that respect. But at a government level, they need to put in tools to play in place to make sure that people feel safe enough to report it and to record it.
Mm. Okay, so that's well said. You know, what I think is this way. Now, if you look at New Zealand, okay, there's a bit of, at a societal level, one-on-one, you're likely to say racism is not that high at a societal level. Now, what you see is the institutional racism, where racism, institutions and systems are in place that work against people of color and minority communities within the society. Now, having said that, if you say, is this a problem in New Zealand? It is a huge problem. It's not just a problem, it's a huge problem. And you see, the challenge is that if you look at the definition of racism and where we have come from, the idea that someone should consciously hate someone based on color or other whatever descriptions that are put to it. And so there are lots of people who unconsciously have biases and have stereotypes about people that has not been challenged, and so for them that is good, and those ones are okay. But naturally, you know, Kojo, if I walk into a room and I find people of my color, naturally I'm attracted to them, so I walk to those people. Now, what we need to check is, how do I treat any other person who doesn't look like me? And how do I accept people who are not like me? And you see, that's when, and it hurts when people within our community come out and say there's no racism. And there is. You know, as she mentioned, she talked about the fact that there's diversity. And the problem we have in this country is we are all happy and we flag it. New Zealand is a very diverse country. That's true. Because you're looking at over 70 spoken languages across the country. That's true. That's okay. But how do people feel included? What is our inclusion? How do we feel? Talk to people. Let's get off the radio. Talk to people behind the radio, on the street. Ask them, people of color, how do they feel in their workplaces? How do people feel? Are they valued? Are we just ticking boxes? Are we just there because people have recruited us to add up to the numbers and to say that we are very diverse?
Yeah.
How do people really feel? What are the opportunities for people in nursing, in education, in wherever you find yourself? What are the opportunities for progress? And how are we talking about these things in this country? And that's what I said. If you are looking for racism today, which is to see someone come to you and say Negro or Nigger, you will not see that. You will not find that. But the racism is when you apply for jobs and you are not being shortlisted for interview. Racism is when you are at the workplace, you overqualified and you don't get to be promoted. Racism is when people know you have what it takes to do the work, but you are being sidelined.
Yeah.
And when people tell you you are not team fit because you don't have a certain trait, you don't look a certain way, you don't talk a certain way, that's racism. And you see, that's when I say that, unfortunately, there are people within our communities who feel, there's no racism. New Zealand is very nice. Of course, New Zealand is very nice. New Zealanders are nice. People can be nice to you. And that's what she said. It's taken 50 lives to come to where we are now, to come to a point where we are now beginning to talk about racism. And even that, and Robin DiAngelo says, white fragility. People are uncomfortable talking about it. Talk about racism at your workplace and see how people respond to it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Everyone goes quiet.
Or because defensive.
We don't want to talk about it. It doesn't happen. For me, I'm righteous. I'm good. I have a friend who's an African.